This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. On this day, 50 years ago, a husband and wife, both Americans, both Jewish, and both convicted of passing atomic secrets to the Soviet Union, awaited their execution.
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg will die in the electric chair at Sing Sing Prison tonight. Warden Denno said earlier that the executions would begin at 8 p.m. daylight time. That's within the next 15 minutes. We're told that the President and Attorney General Brownell are standing by in the event the Rosenbergs want to make a clean breast of it.
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg did not confess. They were executed and buried 2 days later, leaving behind two young sons, Michael, then 10, and Robert, who was 6 years old at the time. The two boys, shunned by relatives who feared their reputations and their businesses would suffer if they took them in, were eventually adopted by family friends, Abel and Ann Muropol. On this anniversary year, the younger of the two brothers, Robert Muropol, has published a book about the execution and his evolving view over time of that event and his parents' professed innocence. He joins us now. First, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Shortly before they were put to death, your parents wrote a letter to you and your brother. What did they say specifically about the charges filed against them?
Well, they said that we should remember that they were innocent. And I grew up emotionally convinced in their complete and total innocence. Then as a young man, I started researching my parents' case. We learned things that, like, the judge secretly communicated with the prosecution and that evidence was fabricated and that prosecution witnesses lied. We learned these things, and this convinced me intellectually that my parents were totally and completely innocent. But it was at law school I realized that while all this information we'd amassed proved a frame-up and proved that they didn't do the thing they were killed for, that is, steal the secret of the atomic bomb, it didn't prove they were innocent of the vague charge of conspiracy, which is what they were actually charged with.
Robert, you went through this exercise as you describe it. Where do you find yourself now?
I feel, and this is something that I really come to just in the last couple of weeks, because this 50th anniversary has brought a lot of questions to the fore, and I've been confronted many times over on this, and I realized that my parents left me a legacy of remaining true to their beliefs one way or the other, whichever position you take on my father. My parents remain true to their beliefs.
What were those beliefs to which they clung so fiercely?
Well, they were members of the American Communist Party. They believed that it would be wrong to falsely confess to stealing the secret of the atomic bomb. And that's the key. You don't roll over in the face of overwhelming government authority. That is a very important lesson to learn, not only for the McCarthy period, but for today.
Your parents were executed during the McCarthy era, but their involvement with the Communist Party began long before that. And understanding now what that involvement was, how comfortable are you with their politics?
Well, the American Communist Party in the 1930s was an organization that I think at one time or another a total of 1 million Americans passed through. About, I don't think the party ever had more than 100,000 members at one time, so people moved in and out.
And in the 1950s?
In the 1950s, I think by that time we're talking about, I think it had dropped to no more than 30 or 40,000. And then when the Stalin revelations came out, I think about three-quarters of the party members left. So then it got down to about 10,000. That was in the late 50s. But my parents looked out of their Lower East Side homes, and what did they see? They saw the Communist Party. When the people were thrown out of their homes because they couldn't pay the rent and the landlords would remove all their possessions and dump it in the street, the Communist Party would organize brigades of people to put the furniture back in the homes. They were the heroes of the people on the Lower East Side. And then my parents would go to demonstrations and mounted police would wade through the crowd and crack people on the heads. And the next day the newspapers would report, you know, communists rioted. So they looked at their world, and they saw the communists as heroes, and they saw the press as misrepresenting what was done. So then they extended that belief, and they said, well, if they're lying about what's the demonstrations that are occurring in Lower Manhattan, they're lying about Stalin. That was their mistake. They didn't understand that what was being said about Stalin's atrocities was true. I don't really have any problem with their beliefs during that period. If they're not the beliefs that I have today. It's a very different world. I don't consider myself, I think the older I get, the less ideological I become. I think it was Thomas Paine who said, "I'm a citizen of the world. My religion is to do good." I think if you want a short summary of my own politics, that's the best I can give you.
Your parents have been martyred by some who view them as a symbol of a government gone awry. And as you step forward and say and profess that your father may or might have been involved in espionage, have you found that people are very angry with you?
Well, I think there have been some people who are annoyed with me, who feel that as long as the government hasn't proved it and can't really pin it down, I should admit to nothing. But I've also found a lot of people who are very supportive, who know that I'm making my best, honest effort to get to the bottom of this.
You now acknowledge that your father may have been a spy, but you still espouse the belief that he and your mother were framed. And some may hear that and think that there's a good deal of contradiction there, that you're actually splitting hairs.
Well, yes, I can understand why people would say that. The fact of the matter is they didn't do the thing they were killed for, that is, steal the secret of the atomic bomb. They were framed for that, and they didn't do that. But that didn't mean that one or the other of them didn't engage in any sort of spying whatsoever. And I think that's not hair splitting. I think that's a very important distinction.
Do you have any pure memory of your parents, not through the prism of the controversy or the trial or the execution, but just a recollection of them?
I have a very clear memory of my mother walking through the prison door in this, you know, drab prison outfit and these sort of flat slippers, and my looking at her and saying, "Mommy, you're so short." And, of course, I was growing quite rapidly, and I wasn't seeing them frequently, and my mother was a very short woman. And I do have that. That's the most striking visual image. You know, it's a very common kind of thing, a kid noting that they're getting bigger and their parents seem shorter. But that's what a 4-year-old or 5-year-old sees.
Robert Meeropol, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Robert Meeropol is the son of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg. He's recently published a book, An Execution in the Family, One Son's Journey.